Good morning, Summit Bible Church. Would you please turn with me to Philippians chapter 1? Today we'll be looking at verses 12 to 14. The Word of God says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my chains in Christ have become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord because of my chains, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Would you join me in a word of prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you that we have the privilege of gathering together as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship you and to sit under the teaching of your holy word. We thank you for the salvation that we have through the life, death, and resurrection of your precious and sinless Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to live our lives thankfully in light of that. I pray that you would help our minds to be engaged to today's teaching and that you would renew our mind with the teaching of your word. And most of all, I pray that you would be honored and glorified. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look around, it won't take you long to see turmoil and unrest in the world around you. There's so much chaos and disorder and strife. There's wars, rumors of wars, fears of involvement in a third world war. There's mass deportations, civil unrest, protests and riots and violent attacks. There's personal suffering through hardships and trials and circumstances that are just difficult and crushing at times. When you dwell on these kinds of things, your mind can be filled with anger and anxiety, hopelessness and fear. Dealing with adversity can leave you feeling discouraged, discontented, and defeated. The Apostle Paul was someone who experienced turmoil and unrest like no other. Yet he kept a joyful attitude through it all. What gave the Apostle Paul this joy that he felt, even in the midst of these difficult circumstances? The Apostle Paul was focused on the mission that God entrusted him with. He understood that all the circumstances in his life worked together for the advancement of the gospel. He used all his circumstances for the progress of the gospel and for the glory of God. You can clearly see that fact illustrated in today's section of scripture. We've been going through the letter to the Philippians, and in this first chapter, we saw Paul's opening salutation and his expression of thanksgiving for the church in Philippi. After opening with his salutation and greeting, the Apostle Paul expresses his thankfulness to the Philippians. He says he's constantly and joyfully praying for them, and he's consistently praying for their spiritual maturity. In today's section, he transitions from his expression of thanksgiving to now an update on his circumstances. When the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle, he was in a Roman prison, or he was in Roman imprisonment, and he wanted the Philippians to know how things were going for him. And there's no doubt that the Philippians were worried about Paul. This is someone they loved dearly, and they cared for him. But the Apostle Paul's response likely surprised the Philippians. He responded with joy and with encouragement because of what God was doing through his imprisonment. Through the Apostle Paul's imprisonment, the gospel was progressed unhindered, unstoppable. And God was working all circumstances so that Paul could progress the gospel message. Paul's hardships bore abundant fruit for the cause of Christ. And in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, you'll see three results from his imprisonment that should also help you glorify God through your hardships. For those of you taking notes, I'll give you these three results up front. The first result of his imprisonment was that the gospel was advanced. We see that in verse 12. The second result was that Christ was magnified. We see that in verse 13. And finally, we see that the believers were encouraged, and we see that in verse 14. So let's look at how the gospel was advanced through Paul's imprisonment. In verse 12, he says, "I want you to know, brothers, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." The Apostle Paul begins this section with a common Greek expression used to call attention to a point someone was about to make. This was a point that could be easily missed or misunderstood or even hard to accept. In today's modern language, it would be something like, "Look, you need to understand this." The Apostle Paul wanted the Philippians to understand what he was about to say. This was a very important message. The term Paul uses for brothers in this passage refers to both males and females. So he was speaking to the whole church in Philippi. He wanted to grab their attention and made sure they were paying attention. The Philippians had heard about the Apostle Paul's imprisonment, and they had sent Epaphroditus with a large financial gift to support Paul in his ministry. And they wanted to find out how the Apostle Paul was doing. They were faithful partners in the gospel with Paul. And they deeply, deeply cared for him. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to reassure them, to let them know how his circumstances were going. He wanted them to have a right perspective on his situation, that God was in control and that he was working all things out for the advancement of the gospel. God's sovereignty was made very evident in Paul's imprisonment. It was very clear that he was the one orchestrating all circumstances according to his sovereign purposes. At the time this letter was written, the Apostle Paul had been in prison for 2 years already. The beginning of his imprisonment began in Acts chapter 21. It happened in Jerusalem. Before going to Jerusalem, Paul already knew he would be arrested, and he knew that he would suffer. He had received two warnings. He received one from some brothers in Tyre in Acts chapter 21, verse 6, when they told him not to step foot inside Jerusalem. He received a second one in Acts chapter 21, verses 10 to 14, when he was in Caesarea at the house of Philip the evangelist. Look what Paul's companion Luke wrote in Acts 21, verses 10 to 14. Luke writes, "And as we were staying there for some day, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, 'This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' And when we had heard this, we, as well as the local residents, began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'What are you doing, crying and breaking my heart? For I am ready, not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" The Apostle Paul knew what awaited him in Jerusalem. He knew he would be arrested, and he knew he would suffer. But he knew that his suffering had a purpose. And that purpose is found here in verse 12, where he says that his circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. The word Paul uses for progress is a compound word that combines in front of and chop down. This can literally refer to advancing by chopping down whatever's in front, any obstacles that might be in the way. This word was often used in reference towards forward movement, forward advancement, typically in the use of a military context, where armies progressed in spite of obstacles and dangers and distractions. So nothing could impede the progression of the gospel. Nothing could stop Paul's ministry. On the contrary, his imprisonment served to advance the gospel. During Paul's imprisonment, he had encountered many, many people that he would have likely not encountered had he not been imprisoned. He was able to preach the gospel to high-ranking Roman officials, to soldiers, to prison guards, to Jews, to Gentiles, to everybody. Paul's ministry could not be stopped. It was an effective and powerful ministry, not because of anything Paul did, not because of his dedication, not because of his own strength, but because his ministry was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God himself. God is a sovereign God, an omnipotent God, and there's nothing that can stop his purposes. God is not just passively looking down at us from his throne, hoping that things work out in his favor. Our God is alive, and he's active, and he's working all circumstances out according to his sovereign purposes. He was orchestrating all of Paul's circumstances. And Paul, recognizing this, used these circumstances for the advancement of the gospel. He was working powerfully through Paul's life. And isn't it awesome that this is the same God that is at work today? The same God that is at work in your lives as well. Every single circumstance in your life has been sovereignly ordained by our loving and gracious God. They've been tailor-made for you, just like they were for Paul. And just like Paul did, you too can use them for the advancement of the gospel and for the glory of God. You can use your joys, your victories, your hardships, your suffering, everything for the glory of God. Even the most crushing trials, even the most trying circumstances, many of which will leave you asking, why? Why, Lord? Why am I going through this? Sometimes we're allowed to go through things, hard things, painful things, and we just don't know why. And we may never know why. But you can rest assured that God is with you. That God loves you. He cares for you. And that those circumstances are not in vain. You can be confident that God is working through those circumstances. And they'll turn out for your good and for his glory. When I think about God's sovereignty, I always go back to Joseph in the book of Genesis. He was kidnapped by his brothers. He was sold off into slavery in Egypt. He was falsely accused. He was imprisoned. He suffered hardships for years without end in sight. And yet he maintained an upright and blameless character through it all, trusting in the Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going through crushing trials, not knowing what you did wrong? Wondering, why am I suffering this way? In the case of Joseph, God showed him why. He was preserved and he was protected, and God raised him up to be the second most powerful person in the whole kingdom of Egypt. This was one of the most powerful kingdoms in the world at the time. He was given stewardship over all of Pharaoh's house. And through his prominent position, he was ultimately able to save all his family members, the ones who had sold him off into slavery. And because he saved his family, he preserved the line of Judah, the line through which the promised Messiah would come, the line through which Jesus Christ came and brought salvation to the world. See, Joseph didn't know it at the time, but God was working powerfully in his circumstances, more than he could ever know. In Genesis 50:20, Joseph makes one of the most reassuring statements about God's sovereignty and his good purposes. When his father died in Egypt, he had spoken to his brothers, and his brothers were afraid that he was going to get revenge on them now that their father was gone. But look what Joseph says here. He says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to do what has happened on this day, to keep many people alive." Joseph had come to understand that God sovereignly allowed him to go through those circumstances so that he would bring about his purposes. Just like the Apostle Paul understood that his circumstances were used to bring about God's purposes. And you need to understand that he's working in your life as well. You just need to be faithful to what he's called you to do. You might not see it when you're going through it. You might not feel it when you're going through it. But you can rest assured, if you are in Christ, all circumstances in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, are all working together for your good and for his glory. Whether it's sickness or hardships or heartbreaks in your life, it'll all work together for your good. Look at what this promise says in Romans 8:28. This is a promise that each of you should hold on to, especially during difficult times. The Apostle Paul says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, to those who are called according to his purpose." So if you are one of God's children, every circumstance in your life is working together for your good and for his glory. Paul knew that God was directing his life, and Paul was committed to preaching the gospel and glorifying God. And he had this mindset no matter where the Lord took him, no matter how much suffering he endured. He had his mind set on preaching the gospel and glorifying Christ. And it's encouraging to see that many Christians have this faithful mindset as well, even today. I have a dear brother in Christ that I had the privilege of having lunch with a few weeks ago. And this brother expressed concern because there's mass deportations going on. Now, this brother was from El Salvador. He was a permanent resident, but he had fears of deportation because of something that occurred in his life before Christ. And this brother came here as a baby. He has his whole life here, his job, his daughter, his granddaughter, his family, friends. Everything was in America. And during our conversation, he said something that really encouraged me. He said, "Eddie, I really don't want to go to El Salvador, but if I have to get deported, if this is the Lord's will for me, then I'm going to serve him in El Salvador. It doesn't matter whether I stay here or whether I go to El Salvador. I'm going to preach the gospel. See, that was so encouraging to me. Because this is someone who could have lost it all. His whole life was built in the United States. He could have lost his family, his friends, his livelihood, everything. And his mind was set on Christ, on preaching the gospel and using his circumstances to glorify God, just like the Apostle Paul did. See, we can turn every single circumstance in our life into an opportunity for the gospel. No matter how good or how bad our situation might feel, we can use it to glorify Christ and to preach the gospel. You can rest assured that everything you go through has been sovereignly ordained according to God's purposes, and you should use that to advance the gospel yourself. In Paul's case, circumstances that would normally cause fear, distress, concern, and worry ended up bringing Paul joy. He felt privileged to be able to preach the gospel in these circumstances. Look what he wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 13, a letter which he also wrote from his Roman imprisonment. He says, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the unfathomable riches in Christ, and to bring to light for all what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have the boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my afflictions on your behalf, which are your glory." So Paul viewed it as a privilege to preach the gospel of salvation to the world, regardless of the circumstances he faced, regardless of his imprisonment, regardless of the trials. His focus was on preaching the message of salvation. He carried an attitude of joy and of thankfulness because he had this privilege to proclaim this saving message. He viewed it as a privilege to suffer for the cause of Christ. And in his mind, his imprisonment wasn't something to lose heart about, because through it, the gospel was advanced. So that was the first result of his imprisonment, that the gospel was advanced. The second is that Christ was magnified. In verse 13, Paul says that his circumstances turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. He says, "So that my chains in Christ have become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else." Paul made it a point to acknowledge that he was a prisoner of Christ, that he was there because of Christ, and he wanted everyone to know. He wasn't in prison for committing a crime. He didn't do anything wrong. He was in chains because he boldly and faithfully proclaimed the gospel. He acknowledges the fact that he's in prison, but that he did nothing wrong. He is there because God is sovereign, and he allowed him to be in those circumstances. He knew that the Lord was in control of his life, and he used these circumstances for the progress of the gospel. When he wrote this letter, Paul was on house arrest. And during house arrest, he was allowed to live in private quarters instead of being in a dark and restrictive cell. This was much different than his second imprisonment. His second imprisonment was much harsher. During this imprisonment, Paul was allowed to have visitors and continue his ministry work, but he was constantly chained to a guard. Now, Paul's chains were a little bit different than today's handcuffs. It was about 18 inches long, the chain, One end was chained to the Apostle Paul's wrist, the other was chained to the Roman guard. So these guards were with Paul all the time. He had no privacy, no room to escape. But with those handcuffs to every single guard he had, what did he have? A captive audience. You're not going anywhere. You're hearing the gospel. Can you imagine if we evangelized like that today? Take my pair of handcuffs. All right, come on. You're hearing the gospel. Through this kind of imprisonment, the Roman soldiers no doubt got to know the Apostle Paul well. There's no doubt that they saw his kindness and his goodness and his compassion and his integrity, all attributes that come from the transforming power of the gospel. There's no doubt that they heard Paul's testimony, how he went from being a fervent persecutor of the church to now dedicating his life, being imprisoned for the same gospel he was trying to destroy. No doubt they heard the gospel come out from Paul's mouth constantly, whether he was preaching to the soldiers or teaching the visitors who Paul had. No doubt they continued to hear about how they were sinners, born enemies of God, deserving of his eternal wrath and punishment. And no doubt they had heard about how God was such a gracious God and a good God and a loving God that he sent his only begotten son to come and live the perfect life that we could never live and go to the cross to pay for the sins that we could never pay for. No doubt that they too heard that they can experience the transforming power of the gospel if they repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the effect the gospel had on the Apostle Paul. And no doubt Paul kept pointing them to Christ because it's all about Christ. You know, we can learn so much about evangelism from the Apostle Paul. This is how each one of us should be evangelizing. We should get to know people. We should be a good witness to people, adorn the doctrine of God in everything. We should proclaim the saving message of the gospel, the only way to reconciliation with God. People need to see Christ in you if you want to be an effective witness for him. They have to. You need to shine the light of Christ upon this dark, dark world. On April 5th, 1943, during World War II, there was a German pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned because of his opposition to the Nazis. During his time in prison, he didn't stop ministering. He continued to minister to fellow prisoners and even to prison guards. He would give people pastoral counsel, even difficult ones who were really hard to deal with. He led church services. Even as he faced a death sentence, he didn't waver in his commitment to Christ. He had been given an opportunity to escape by one of the guards that he deeply impacted. But in a selfless, sacrificial manner, he said no, because he's concerned about his family if he were to escape. On April 9th, 1945, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed 1 week before the war ended. And even though he died, he greatly impacted the people around him. He was a faithful witness to the very end. Just like the Apostle Paul. And we should strive to be faithful witnesses too. See, Paul was such a faithful witness that verse 13 says that his chains in Christ became well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. The word Paul uses for Praetorian Guard was used to refer to a unit of hand-picked elite Roman soldiers. Some of these soldiers were used as the emperor's bodyguards. Others protected the city of Rome, and others were scattered throughout the Roman Empire. These elite soldiers had heard about Paul's imprisonment. They had heard his preaching and teaching, and they saw his character and his conduct. And there's no doubt that Paul's ministry had a deep impact on these hardened, elite, and influential soldiers. And though Scripture doesn't record any of their conversion, there's no doubt that Paul brought some people to salvation through his ministry. In Philippians 4:22, in Paul's closing remarks to the Philippians, Paul says that all the saints greet you, especially those of the household of Caesar. These elite soldiers in the Praetorian Guard were likely the ones who had access to the household of Caesar and who preached the gospel to those in the household of Caesar. The news about Paul quickly spread to all of Rome, and they had all heard about his chains in Christ. And that's why it says that his chains in Christ became known well throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. When Paul finally arrived in Rome, people came to visit him, to hear him speak, to see what he had to say. Look what Acts 28, verses 30 and 31 records. This happened after Paul's arrival to Rome. Luke records, "And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, unhindered." So Paul saw God's providence in allowing him to be imprisoned in this fashion. And he sought to make the most of the time he had. He preached and taught with all confidence, unhindered, because of God's providential working. And through Paul's imprisonment, Christ was magnified, because through him, everybody heard about Christ through Paul's circumstances. So that was the second result from Paul's imprisonment. The third is that believers were encouraged. In verse 14, he says that most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord because of his chains, had far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Paul said that most brothers became confident in the Lord. I believe this goes further than the brothers in Rome. The news about Paul's imprisonment had traveled far and wide, and many people loved Paul. Many people cared for Paul. Through Paul's ministry, the gospel went out to the Gentile world. He planted many churches. He left an impact on many people. And there's no doubt that when they heard about his circumstances, he was encouraged, or they were encouraged, to go and preach the gospel. It's always encouraging to hear about other believers' faithfulness, especially in the midst of trying and difficult circumstances. I had heard a story about Chinese Christians who were imprisoned for their faith. And when they were arrested, they had their Bibles and all other Christian materials confiscated from them. This was well known. So what many people would do was smuggle scripture written on small pieces of paper. They would smuggle them into prison, and they would be quick to memorize those scripture verses. Once they were finished memorizing them, they would pass them on to someone else. And one was recorded saying, "We memorize it as fast as we can, because they can take away the paper, but they can't take what's hidden in your heart." And that was so encouraging for me to hear. These people were in circumstances designed to break your spirit, designed to rob you of your faith. Torture, mistreatment, hard labor. These circumstances were designed to push them away from their faith. But it only made their faith stronger. And it was so encouraging to see how they valued and treasured the Word of God, and how they desired to store it in their heart because it was so hard to find. And it just made me appreciate my Bible so much more. And it helped me not take it for granted, Because there are people out there that don't have access to the Bible. It's so awesome to see how the Lord provides and encourages and strengthens and empowers, especially during difficult circumstances. And no doubt that these brothers in Christ were encouraged with Paul's circumstances. I'm sure their faith was strengthened and their trust in the Lord was increased because the work they saw him doing in Paul's circumstances. They had become confident in the Lord because they knew it was him who was protecting Paul and blessing his ministry, even in the midst of suffering. They understood it was God who was in control, not man. He was the one who was sovereignly working these things out according to his perfect plan. See, when you trust in God's sovereignty, it completely changes your life. Everything that happens to you, you view in light of God's sovereignty. And you know that he's a loving God and a good God and a compassionate God. And even when you encounter trials and difficult circumstances, you can rest in the fact that he's there. He loves you. He cares for you. You know, as we look around us today, we can see that the heat is starting to turn up, both globally and individually in our lives. But we know that God's hand is the one on the thermostat, and he's controlling all circumstances. And you can live your life with such confidence that everything is working out for your good and for his glory. And when we see things in that manner, we feel secure because we know our hope is in the future. See, these brothers that Paul speaks about had way more confidence to preach the gospel without fear. And it's not that they didn't have confidence already, but Paul's circumstances increased their confidence abundantly because they saw God working through it. The believers during this time had reason to be afraid. The first century church faced much persecution. They faced physical violence. They were ostracized. They were falsely accused and imprisoned. There was reason to fear. But their trust was in God. Through Paul's witness, their passion and their zeal for evangelism went through the roof. See, the Holy Spirit is the one who energizes us when we look at someone else's faithfulness. Through one man's faithfulness, a fire was ignited in the church. It's amazing to see the impact that one faithful and spirit-filled person has on an entire church. It's like one hot coal that starts lighting up the rest, and all of a sudden there's a fire ablaze in the church. All it took was one faithful person on fire for the Lord, walking in holiness, who lit the whole church aflame. Now, what do you think would happen if multiple people were like that? Brothers and sisters, let us strive to be these people for the glory of our God and for the good of our church. Let us grow in our passion and our zeal for the Lord. Let us be faithful gospel witnesses. Let us boldly preach that gospel to the people in our lives. Let us reflect Christ's likeness as a witness to our faith. Let us live out our faith as an act of worship to the Lord, not to earn anything in return, but because he is so great and he is worthy of our praise and worship. See, regardless of the circumstances that you are in right now, whether they're great or whether they're not what you want them to be, You can use them to glorify Christ and to proclaim the message of hope that this world so desperately needs. Look what God did through Paul's imprisonment. The gospel was advanced. Jesus Christ was magnified, and other believers were encouraged. This is something you can do as well through your circumstances, no matter how good or how bad. Turn your circumstances to an opportunity for the gospel. Point people to Christ and display the transforming power of the gospel. Encourage other Christians through your faithful example. Let us strive to be faithful ministers of the gospel that each one of us has been entrusted with. In closing, I'd like to leave you with this. You and I have been entrusted with the greatest gift imaginable. It's the only thing that can give hope in this hopeless world. Let us be faithful stewards of this treasure that we've been entrusted with. Let us not hold it for ourselves. In the midst of chaos and turmoil and unrest, there's nothing that people need more than the gospel. Let us use the life we're given for the glory of God. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this precious gift in the gospel. I pray, Father, that you would light a fire in our hearts, that you would help us grow in our love for you and our commitment to the gospel. Father, help us to be faithful, to turn our circumstances into an opportunity to glorify you. I pray that you would give us the boldness to speak this saving message of the gospel to this lost and dying world. And I ask, Father, that you would help us to display a Christ-like character and to shine as lights in this dark and lost world. Father, help us not take these words carelessly. I pray that they would change our minds and transform our hearts and grow us in our passion and our zeal for you. We thank you, we praise you, and we pray these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.